Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can come before your very presence, the presence of the great Almighty God, who is also our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who cares for us. Father, we thank you for reaching out to each one of us in your grace and love. Thank you for your provisions for our lives. Thank you that you have not only enabled us to come back to you, but that you have laid before us a life of spiritual abundance in the Lord Jesus Christ. A life of deep meaning, visible for us to have deep fellowship with one another and with you. And we ask that you will help each one of us not to remain in spiritual poverty, but to rise up to your high calling, to know how we can participate in the working of our purposes the way you desire of us. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you will have the freedom to speak to each one, and together as your children, as we seek to be faithful to you. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point in time, we are considering the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The subtopic for today, the big picture, some observations, the second message. In the last message I mentioned, if we want to respond well to God's call, then it's helpful to have a big picture and see how the various aspects and issues of the Christian life fit into the big picture. And what was considered with you in the last message can help us see the big picture and also to develop convictions and a mindset that is helpful for appreciation, understanding of the scriptures, daily living, as well as approach to life and consideration of issues. Because when we can see the big picture, then we learn how not to look at the various issues of life in isolation. So in daily life, whatever we may be doing, we are conscious of God's call and how to live our lives well in response to His call. How to make decisions, including priorities, how we channel our time, energy, resources, and so on. Our whole approach to life, is it in line with God's call? And the big picture, what is important to God? And then the way we consider various issues and how we make up our minds, make decisions, is it consistent with the thrust of biblical revelation, how God wants us to live our lives? And we've seen in recent messages that the book of Ephesians is the key book in the scriptures that helps to give us this big picture. It helps us to see not only we can, but how we ought to approach life as an integrated approach, not just various isolated areas. An integrated approach to our walk with God. And not only at a personal level, but also together in the expression of church life. We also noted that the revelation of the mystery in New Testament times, and revelation of mystery takes place only in the New Testament times with the coming of the Messiah, that this revelation actually began with the Lord Jesus. Although we have spent time in the past and in recent messages to see how God has revealed much to the Apostle Paul regards to the mystery, but the Lord Jesus is the first one through whom God revealed the mystery. And not only that, not only through His preaching, teaching, but actually is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Himself. He is at the very heart of the revelation of the mystery. Hopefully, we will continue to see more of this. And this can help us to appreciate the meaning of living under the new covenant, as well as the preaching, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and beyond that, as we seek to observe and appreciate His life. The Lord Jesus is the one who talks about the revelation of the mysteries of God's kingdom. That is, at the very heart of the revelation of the mystery is the kingdom of God. And if you can appreciate this point, you help us to appreciate all the four Gospels as well as the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus. What is it that holds them all together? It is actually the theme of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a major theme in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus. Not only that, this is also one way we can appreciate the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul. That is also a major theme in his preaching as well as his teaching and the epistles that he has written. We've looked at this in the last message. For 2 full years, what was he concentrating upon? Preaching, teaching, concerning the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus. The two are closely related. But not only that, it's very helpful for us to see that the kingdom of God is the central theme of the scriptures. And this will help us to appreciate or to understand how to interpret the scriptures. What's the underlying message that God wants to communicate to us? We can say the kingdom of God is a central issue in the heart of God. And what he wants to communicate to us, what he wants us to concentrate upon. So one angle of looking at what God has revealed in the scriptures is to view it from this angle, that the advancement of God's kingdom, men submitting to the reign of God in their hearts, that this is the primary issue during this phase of the fulfillment of God's purposes. Pause. Reflect upon it. Is this not so? That is, God's children learning to live as citizens of heaven in this fallen world, manifesting the values and perspective of God's kingdom. It doesn't come automatically. That's why the Lord Jesus, his preaching, his teaching, concentrated on this to help us to understand the values, perspective of God's kingdom, and also how we ought to live as citizens of heaven, citizens of God's kingdom in this fallen world. But what about non-believers? Non-believers first has to do with their hearing and responding positively to the gospel. And what is that? Is that they can then submit to the reign of God in their hearts. They enter God's kingdom. And there's a primary, one of the core issues also in relation to our calling as God's children. Then when they enter God's kingdom, they become God's children. So just like us, what then after that is God's children learning and growing together in the expression of body life unto maturity in Christ. Is that not so? But what does that mean? That means there's increasing meaning of believers submitting to the reign of God in their hearts. When we learn, when we see the issues in this way, then it helps us to see the relationship between the church, church growth, the role of the church, and the kingdom of God and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The growth of the church is directly related to the advancement of God's kingdom, not only in terms of numbers, but the quality. When men and women of God, they deeply love God. Why the Lord Jesus emphasizes so strongly on true discipleship? More and more, the depth of meaning of submitting to the reign of God, that the power and the glory of God can be increasingly manifested. How? In and through his children. And God will have more and more freedom to manifest his glory and his power. Because God is looking for suitable beings with hearts who will be submitted to his reign, in and through whom he can have the freedom to manifest his power and his glory. And that's where the role of the church comes in, critical. Primarily during this phase of the fulfillment of God's purposes, it is in and through the church, not just individual believers. It's moving in the direction of the manifestation of the manifold wisdom of God, as Paul tells us, and very major aspect of the revelation of the mystery, the goal, what we are working towards. Today I want to continue with this observation that it is helpful and meaningful to recognize the relationship between the mystery, Christ, the gospel, the Christian faith, the word, and the kingdom of God. These are the major issues in the revelation of the scriptures, and it's very helpful to be able to see the relationship between all these expressions. If you recall, we've considered the mystery of Christ. The Christ is at the very center of the revelation of the mystery. Then the mystery of the gospel covers the same area. The gospel, the good news that Christ has come, and what God intends for us in and through Him. Likewise, the mystery of the faith is the revelation of what the Christian faith is all about. It's the good news of what God intends for us in and through the Lord Jesus. The Word, we'll look at more at this. The Word is what? The Word, or the Word of God, is God's message to us. What God wants to communicate to us. And what is that? It is the mystery. The Lord Jesus is also known as the Word. The Word of God. The Word. God's message to us. So you see the close relationship with all these major areas. And then the kingdom of God. God's revelation, His message to us, so that we can enter into His kingdom. His kingdom built up. And at the heart of it, as I mentioned, during this phase of the fulfillment of God's purposes, is primarily in the hearts of men. The advancement of God's kingdom. And that has to do with what God intends and seeks to accomplish through Christ, the good news of the gospel, what the Christian faith is all about. So then we see these relationships, and I want to go on from there afterwards. There are meaningful things that can arise from it if we are more conscious of these relationships and how we appreciate the scriptures. So one major aspect the scriptures talks about is the preaching of Christ. Paul, the disciples, when they went about preaching the word, what were they preaching? Later we will see, they're preaching Christ. And preaching Christ is not just preaching about Christ, it's actually to communicate the person of Christ. If you have truly succeeded in the preaching of Christ, then Christ is transmitted, received. It's the person, ultimately. That's a spiritual reality of the preaching of Christ. And what is that? It is also similar in meaning to the preaching and transmission or the spreading of the gospel. That those who not yet know Christ may come to know Him, receive Him, and then continue to grow in Him. The full gospel is all that God, the good news of what God intends for us in Christ, and how it's all meant to work out. It is the same as the preaching, the transmission, the spreading of the Christian faith. What is the spreading of the Christian faith? That man may submit to the Lordship of Christ and grow in Christ, and how God intends us to work out our faith in Him. So, not only these various expressions cover the same area, they also cover the same core area of truth as preaching, proclaiming the Word. And what is that? Proclaiming, preaching the Word is transmission of God's message, the Word of God. It's God's message. That is God's good news to men. And what is that? One very helpful expression which all this while I've been trying to put across. The biblical expression that holds all these things together is the transmission, the communication of the mystery. The stewardship of the mystery. We've seen in earlier messages, Paul sees this as the primary aspect of what God has entrusted to him, the stewardship of the mystery, or the stewardship of the mystery of the gospel, the stewardship of the mystery of the faith, the stewardship of the mystery of Christ. You can look at it from many different angles. The stewardship of the mystery of the word. And this is what Paul tells us, very precious. God has revealed to him in times past hidden, but now revealed. What is that? Throughout history, it has been hidden until the coming of Christ, the revelation of the mystery. And the revelation of the mystery, at the heart of it, is the preaching of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus says that is why he came to this world. So the Lord Jesus devoted his life to preaching, teaching, invasion to the kingdom of God. So all these various expressions can be appreciated from different angles, but they actually all converge together. All these various expressions flow forth from the same core area of truth, which Paul actually communicates to us in clear terms once you see it. It's there. And that is what Paul tells us, what has been in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. Before he created man, all these were already in his heart. God's eternal purpose and how he desires to accomplish it. The fulfillment of God's purposes. And that is what Paul concentrated on in his ministry. It is the core center, the substance of true ministry, not just of Paul, but for every child of God. How to measure whether we are making good progress, are we serving God effectively? It has to do with this area. The stewardship of the mystery. What every child of God ought to devote his life to. For us who are living during this phase of the fulfillment of God's purposes under the new covenant. I mention this to remind us that this is not true all the time since the creation of man. It was not true before the new covenant because the mystery has not yet been revealed. Christ hasn't come. The Holy Spirit hasn't yet been poured forth. Church life and how church life ought to function, all these were not yet revealed. And not only that, those who responded to God before the new covenant, we were not meant to work out in church life the way we are. This is our great privilege. We are now living in this phase. The whole thing is now open up to us. But the thing is, do we see it? Are we gripped by it? Do we, like the Lord Jesus tells us, prepare to give up all things in order to lay hold of this pearl of great value? The Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God, we compare it to this. Give up everything to buy that field. Wherein is this treasure? We have to give up our all for the kingdom of God, to align our heart with the heart of God in relation to the fulfillment of his purposes, the revelation of the mysteries of God's kingdom, the revelation of the mystery and our part in it. How can we respond well to God's call? It has to do with the stewardship of the mystery, the mysteries of God's kingdom. Put in another way, it is still all the same thing, the core center, but we need to see it in all its fullness. That is, what are we to do? What are we to be? The Lord Jesus wants all of us to be effective witnesses. Is it not so? But we effective witnesses of what? We have to be effective witnesses to the truth. At the core center of the truth is the Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and all the various aspects that he has preached and the epistles and you can say the whole Bible. What God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. God's message and what is at the core center of the message, the underlying theme of the scriptures. So we have to be effective witnesses to the truth. How? Through word as well as deed. So we need to understand the truth, but also it needs to be reflected in our lives. First, the meaning in our hearts. What motivates us? What we are committed to? What is the thrust and direction of our lives? What are the goals of our lives? So the meaning, the realities in our hearts, and then reflected in the way we live. And what we testify to the truth must flow forth from this reality, then it will be powerful and effective. If true effective witnesses, we must witness to what we know for our own lives. That is, what we have seen and come to appreciate for ourselves. Not just what we hear from somebody, what we read somewhere, or even when we read the scriptures and then we can just quote the scriptures, that's still not enough. What God wants to communicate in the scriptures is meant to reach our hearts, to renew our minds, to transform our lives. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Not just able to say various things that are correct, but the spiritual meaning, have we come to appreciate them? And in this regard, bear in mind, it is not just a very limited area of truth. It's all that God wants to communicate to us, the richness of the meaning under the expression of the revelation of the mystery. All that God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures, and as well as, and needs to be complemented by, go together with our knowledge and experience of the Lord Jesus and all that we can find in Him, and what the Holy Spirit can lead us into all the truth. All of us have a taste, experience, realities in this, in what I'm trying to say here, to some degree, some more, some less. But this is what it's all about. But to know there's a lot more that God intends for us to understand, to gain insight into, and to enter into. And that is closely related to what the Lord Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. This is the spiritual life of abundance. They are closely related. So what we have seen and come to appreciate for ourselves, you can summarize it as what we have come to see and appreciate in relation to the mystery, spiritual insight. What was hidden times past, now revealed, the good news of God's intentions for us in and through Christ. We need to have to continue to deepen in our spiritual insight and then to enter into the spiritual realities. So this is how God wants us to respond well to His call. Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, He exhorts us to walk worthy of the calling. This is what it's all about. Then he went to elaborate. But the preceding three chapters, he talks about the revelation of the mystery, his stewardship of the mystery. He introduces the centrality of the role of the church and when to work out well in response to God's call. Chapter 4, he elaborated on how church life ought to work out. And the way to respond well to God's call, together with what I've already mentioned, we need to continue in this direction with perseverance and to understand that we need to respond, to work at it in this way in the context of the expression of church life. This is what we've seen earlier. So now I'm looking at the big picture that we've seen, that from Ephesians chapter 4 onwards, what Paul talks about, at the core center of it is expression of healthy church life and all the various aspects, including overcoming the forces of darkness, spiritual warfare and so on, is not individual but as an army. Likewise, the way we work out, make the most of our time and daily lives and so on, is the expression of body life. how the members of the body are to work out. Likewise, in prayer support for the Lord's work, for those who are serving the Lord and so on, the whole thing. And bearing in mind, Ephesians is written to the church in Ephesus, not just the individuals. All are to work out like that. And that is true. Basically, at the heart of the Apostle Paul, in the way he sought to fulfill his ministry, the church. We look at this, if we have time afterwards, we can get to that point. But these are things we've already covered. You've seen. So the expression of church life, not just on our own. We need to persevere, and we need to do so according to the guidance of the Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit, according to the truth God has revealed in the Scriptures. And they all come together in a beautiful whole. They do not contradict. So when we respond well to God's call in this way, and in many different ways, I'm trying to communicate in the hope that somehow we will catch this vision, the spiritual insight into what it's all about, in a way that will shape our approach to life, the mindset in which we approach every area of life and every moment of our lives. We should live like that. That is God's call. That's how He wants us to work out our lives. So when we respond well to God's call in this way, what happens? It will move in the direction of the advancement of God's kingdom, which I mentioned just now is at the core center of this phase in the advance in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And what is that? If we are faithful, we respond like that, then it would mean not only we growing, but also our participation in the advancements of God's kingdom, the manifestation of God's power and glory, overcoming the forces of darkness in every sphere and dimension. And in the midst of all this, clearing the way for the spread of the gospel. Some of us may not be so conscious of this, but it's very real. The forces of darkness, they're blinding, especially even blinding the minds of the unbelieving, and also holding many in bondage, making it very difficult for the gospel to get through to the hearts of men. Here and there we may have read some of these things. That's why in various contexts and countries and so on, much prayer and servants of God who labored hard, faithfully, for a long time they may not see any fruit, but actually they're clearing the way. And then subsequently, those who come, much fruit, quite easily, many turn to the Lord. In many different ways, these principles are operating in the spiritual realm. So when God's children know how to respond well to God, the advancement of God's kingdom, the manifestation of God's power and glory in the spiritual realm, it would mean the forces of darkness, they will have to loosen their hold. It will weaken them. It will become easier for the hearts of those who have been kept in bondage to be liberated. And this includes God's children in many different ways. We have been hindered and also subjected to the forces of darkness. You can say various forms of spiritual bondage. It's still true for Christians. But when we learn to respond to God in the way we have been talking about, then for believers also, more and more, their hearts and spirits will be freed up. They will then be able to enter more and more fully into what God intends for us in Christ. And so it would mean more and more people entering God's kingdom, submitting to the reign of God in their hearts, and believers more and more fully submitting to the reign of God in their hearts. And that's what it's all about. Not just say, I love God, I seek to obey Him, but the reality, the depth of it, the degree of that submission to God's reign, that is at the crux of it when you talk about the advancement of God's kingdom. And God having then the freedom to manifest His power and glory and to work in and through His children. and then the manifestation of the manifold wisdom of God. More and more can be seen in the expression of church life, in church life itself, as well as the manifestation of the manifold wisdom of God in the way church life, expression of modern life, impact the lives of non-believers, of others, of the spiritual realm. That means the expression of church life impacting beyond it, the local congregation experiencing and then also impacting beyond it. So you can say what we are talking about here is the underlying theme and objective of the Apostle Paul writing the book of Ephesians. I think by now it's not so difficult for us to see this. It's the underlying theme of the book of Ephesians. But not only that, it's helpful for us to see that this is also the underlying theme and objective of the Apostle Paul in his ministry, which also means that this is also what motivates him, the underlying thing, why he wrote his epistles, all the epistles, because this is what grips his heart. And you help us to appreciate and how to interpret, how to apply the meaning of his epistles. What is he trying to bring about in all his epistles? He's addressing of all the various churches in his epistles. What is he trying to do? It is along these lines that more and more believers may know how to submit their hearts to God and also how to work out church life in a powerful way. Same. That is why he addressed all the various problems in the Corinthian church, for example. And if you look at Ephesians, you can say Colossians, very similar. And the book of Romans, what is it all about? You'll find that actually the theme of the mystery and the way Paul uses this expression of the mystery in line with what we're talking about is very much reflected not only in Ephesians, it permeates Ephesians, also Colossians, and also this word appears in the underlying theme and meaning of Romans, what Paul is trying to communicate. Why did Paul write the epistle to the Romans? And you see here and there, I've gone through this with you in relation to various other epistles, but the underlying meaning, what Paul is trying to achieve and accomplish when he wrote the epistles, as I mentioned, you can summarize this, what Paul devoted his life to. And we can say is the central theme and message of the scriptures. What God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. And when we see this properly, it will also help us. Not only in our appreciation of the scriptures as a whole is important, but also of the various books of the scriptures, as well as various passages, verses. Subsequently, I will give some examples. The richness of meaning of our appreciation of various expressions in the scriptures can be appreciated in a much richer sense when we appreciate this point. At this juncture, I think it is suitable for me to mention that what we are talking about here, the mystery, and what it's all about, and the central theme of the scriptures, it is also the underlying theme and objective of all the messages in the current series of messages, the fulfillment of God's purposes. On the website, you look at the skeleton, you look at all the details, it is the underlying theme. Why did I preach all these messages? By now, more than 200, in fact 247 messages, the underlying theme of all these messages. You can say the messages are meant to help us appreciate how God has created us in His image, and how He wants us to respond to His call and participate meaningfully in the working of His purposes. at the personal level and together in the expression of church life. That is the objective, the underlying theme of all the messages in this series. This is more obvious, but in one sense you can say, if you look at the website, all the messages are preached, including appearance and reality. And true messages, what God wants His children to preach, must arise from this call center, bear a direct relationship with this call center. Because this call center is what is central in the heart of God. What He has revealed. The ministry revealed now to His children what He wants us to concentrate upon. So, and not just for the individual believer, but also how to work out together in church life, which is what has been in God's heart before the foundation of the world, the mystery. And that is why I began the series of messages, this current series, with 9 messages on the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes. This is subheading. The first 9 messages, this is the theme of the messages. And it's from this core center then flow forth all the other messages. So some at times may have some difficulty. How so many messages? Is it based by now? More than 200. How to follow the flow and all that? Actually, it is very feasible. Now, what is on the website, the skeleton, the major headings, although various subheadings can be appreciated on their own, even individual messages, but it's very helpful to see this whole big picture, that all these messages at the call center and the objective is actually in line with the heart of God. What God wants His children to understand, to gain insight into, to align their hearts with the heart of God and work out God's purposes the way He desires of us. I now want to go on to this point that appreciating the meaning and relationship between the various expressions that I mentioned to you just now can help us to see that there can be different shades of meaning, as well as help us to see richer meaning in various passages and verses in the scriptures, and for that matter, epistles, whole epistles. It can help us appreciate. Because when we read epistles, when we're younger in our faith, understandable, we read, then various verses speak to us. We appreciate it from the angle of specific verses. But as we grow older, if we've been reading the scriptures the way we ought to, knowing that it's the same God who inspired the scriptures, that there are central themes in the scriptures, and now if we can see these things that we are talking about, what God wants to reveal to us, then it helps us to understand, as I said, the underlying meaning of the epistles, why they are written. So for example, the Apostle Paul, as I said, is very helpful when we read epistles of Paul to understand what was in his heart, the burdens, the concerns of his heart that gave rise to all those words in the epistle. I've illustrated this, for example, when you look at the epistle to the Ephesians, when Paul says, make the most of your time. And verses like this, including in Colossians, some believers look at it and they take it as, oh, I must not waste my time. So I make good use of my time. I don't idle. And they think they are fulfilling. Well, in one sense, but it is not the real sense that Paul was trying to communicate. Including even if you are not wasting your time, you're doing legitimate things. Proper things. But when Paul says make the most of your time, is your priorities, the trust, the making the most of your time in relation to God's call. What we've been talking about here, the whole trust. What God is really concerned about, your priorities, how you channel your time, your energy, everything, all your resources. And very central to that, the expression of church life, the importance of body life. Is it consistent with all this? Okay, now I want to move on And there are various of these expressions I want to refer to, but I do not know how much I can go into today. I don't intend to give a lot of examples, but I just give a few which I think are very helpful to catch what I'm trying to put across. And now I'm talking about expressions. That by now we have some familiarity, and then when we read the scriptures, that it can yield a lot more meaning than we just read and just pass on. It may tend to give us a superficial appreciation of the meaning. And some of these, because I've already been going into them, it shouldn't be too difficult for you to follow, to see. And that's why I think you can go a bit faster, that it is there in the text. But I still want to go into it sufficiently for you to see that this is not just a subjective way of interpreting the scriptures. That it is there in the scriptures, the meaning when Paul, for example, uses these expressions in his epistles, and what God wants us to learn and benefit from what has been recorded in the scriptures. So, for example, the meaning of what was entrusted to Paul, Paul expresses in different ways. So one way he expresses it is in Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. He said what was entrusted to him was to fully carry out the word of God. So we just read it and then we just carry on. But what is it that Paul was trying to say here? Let us turn to this passage, which we've looked at it from time to time. It's actually very rich in meaning. Colossians chapter 1 verses 25 to 27. I only read some key expressions. We are familiar with this passage, so I think I can do that. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Paul says, of this church I was made a minister. So notice this expression, very meaningful. He considers his life primarily that God appointed him to be a minister of the church. And then he went on to say, minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. I mentioned the preaching of is italic, so is to so that I might fully carry out the word of God. So God appointed him to minister to the church. What was interested to him? What was that? To fully carry out the word of God. And what is that? He went on to say, "Is there? Is it? That is the mystery." To fully carry out the mystery, when he uses experience, to fully carry out the word of God, is God's message. So what is God's message? God's message is the mystery. And he elaborated here what we've been saying. Hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints with the coming appearance of the Messiah. To whom God will to make known. God wants this to be made known. The mystery. And he is to fully carry out the word of God. And as I mentioned, the preaching is a very major aspect. But it's not just preaching. In all ways. Preaching, teaching, through his mind, personal, talking to people, whatever. He is to fully carry out the word of God. All that God intends. The message that God has through the scriptures. The message of the mystery. And then he says, to whom God will to make known, he elaborates. And this is helpful. It's still the word of God. Fully carrying out the word of God. He says, now manifested to his saints, to whom God will to make known. Make known what? What is the riches of the glory of this mystery? So he's telling us, this mystery is very rich in meaning, and the riches of the glory of this mystery. And then he went on to say, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let's now look at this a bit more carefully. It's all there in the text. In this short passage, Paul brings them all together, not ambiguously, very clear. Especially in the light of all that we've been talking about. Then it is very clear that first, God appointed Paul a minister of the church, that he might fully carry out the word of God, the mystery. And what is there? The mystery is God's revelation and message to man. That's why it's known as the word of God. That is, Paul was entrusted with the stewardship of the mystery, God's message, the good news to men. And what is that? This covers, I will now elaborate more, this covers the same area of truth that Paul is saying in the preceding verses. Before verses 25 to 27, in verses 22 to 23, what did Paul say? He's saying the same thing. Verse 22, Paul talks about how he has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That God wants the believers to be presented before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Then let's carry on. Then I'll summarize this part. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So if you read the whole thing together, Paul was made a minister of the church. For what? So that he can proclaim the hope of the gospel, which is what? God's message, which is what? The mystery. And which is for what purpose? In what direction? He says that in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's the goal. Which Paul also told us in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3. You put them all together. It's the same thing that Paul is talking about, but very rich in meaning. Not superficial at all. But he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, so you must continue in the faith, the Christian faith, which we have seen, the faith is actually the mystery. And you need to be firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So you need to be firmly grounded in the gospel, the good news, and you must continue, grow. Then all this can become real. And Paul was called to be a minister of this hope of the gospel. That's why he says, I rejoice in my suffering and so on for your sake. I do my share on behalf of his body, the church. Of this church I was made a minister. So when you read them all together, a beautiful picture of what it is all about. So Paul was going to a minister to proclaim the hope of the gospel so that men may be reconciled to God and firmly established in the faith and to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. It goes beyond just conversion, the whole thing. And then Paul elaborates on what this means and how he sought to fulfill what was entrusted to him, verses 25 to 29. So what is that? So now we come, verses 25 to 27. Paul discharged his stewardship of the word of God, the mystery, by making known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how Paul went about, to discharge this stewardship of the word of God and also what God had entrusted to him in relation to the gospel, of which he was made a minister. Which tells us that at the core center of the revelation of the mystery is God's provision of Christ. That's why he says, making known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just the provision of Christ, but here he also tells us is Christ in you, which is what? Christ in the believer, in every believer, the other is Christ in you, plural, in the body of Christ. So, this is the way in which the manifestation of God's glory and the power of God, the glory of God, the accomplishment of God's purposes in and his, through his children who are members of the body of Christ. That's why Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How all this glory is going to be manifested. That is, members of the body of Christ submitting to the headship of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. And then, when we submit to the head, Christ, there will be the proper working of each individual part and expression of body life as intended by God. And then the whole body will be built up in love and each one growing unto maturity in Christ. Sounds very familiar, right? And it is. This is exactly what Paul tells us, the process. It has explained to us by Paul in Ephesians 4. So this how is all meant to be worked out. Submitted to Christ the head, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. personal, each one, and together, submitted to the head. And all these are not just concepts. They are spiritual realities. We have to align our hearts, and when this is real, we grow into maturity in Christ. And all the various members submitted to the head fulfill their individual parts properly as God desires. And the potential is infinite. Because in that way, and it cannot be accomplished by individuals, it is the body submitted to Christ the head, then the potential is actually the fullness of expression of the life, the power, and the glory of God. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be fully involved in this whole thing. God the Father, the plan in his heart, the mystery, of course, together with the Son and the Holy Spirit, but primarily God the Father, the mystery in his heart before the foundation of the world. Then Christ came into this world, death, resurrection, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to empower us, to guide us, to lead us into all the truth. And notice, a very major role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all this while, God is overseeing. He's actively at work. Not just he sits there on the throne, and now it's for the Son and the Holy Spirit to carry out. God is actively involved, watching over, supervising all that is going on. That is why Paul says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is supervising and causing all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. As we are working on his purposes, as we love him, he's causing all things to work together for good in that direction of the fulfillment of his purposes. And then the next verse tells us a major aspect is that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. We've looked at this in other messages. So we see how they all fit in together very beautifully. So, in this context, let us go on, that Paul, he was called, and Paul was fully committed to fulfill his part in the process towards the fulfillment of God's purposes, the goal, the accomplishment of God's purposes. We know this clear. In Colossians, in Ephesians, elsewhere, he makes it very clear. In Acts also, he testifies in Acts chapter 20. He doesn't hold on to his life, whatever it may be, just to fulfill the ministry entrusted to him. He gave his all. He poured forth his life to fulfill what God had entrusted to him, to fully carry out the word of God. And here, in this context, Paul tells us something in the same direction. So he talks about fully carrying out the word of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So let us now look again at the text. We ended with verse 27. God willed to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul was fully involved in all this. And then he went on to say, verses 20 and 29. It follows through the preceding. What did Paul do? But not only him, together with his co-laborers, we proclaim him, which is, who is him? Christ. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. So we proclaim him, admonishing every man, not just some, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ or mature in Christ. So Paul is calling this what they're committed to. He says, to make sure you do not miss it, verse 29, for this purpose also I labor. His labor, what is it all about? Striving according to his power which mightily works within me. This is not his own fleshly ideas of striving according to his own strength. He makes clear this is God's revelation and can only be accomplished by God's empowering. And that's how Paul devoted his life, that's how he labored together with his co-laborers. We can know that very likely Paul would have a very significant influence on his co-laborers. So we labored together with one heart. And he has laid it out for us. So it's possible to see these things, but we must not miss it. These are very important central truths. Paul is bearing his heart to us. From the depth of his heart, what was God's call? What was he laboring? What is it all about? But we need to go deeper into all these things, what they all mean. So his other epistles, the New Testament, the whole Bible, goes further into what all these things are to be worked out. They all must flow forth from this core center of God's revelation of the mystery, his calling people into the kingdom of God, and how he wants them to work out. And to find their proper place in the expression of body life. And as the Lord Jesus puts in me, abide in you, in me, and I in you. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. How will it be built? This is the way. Paul didn't originate all this. Paul says, he was called to be a minister of the church. He was seeking to be faithful to Christ. Christ says, I will build my church. How? So Paul devoted his life. And not only he obeyed the Lord, but he also wrote, put it on record, so that we too can understand and see these things. But of course, it's not just God, Paul's idea. One is revelation from God, the other is the scriptures. All these God has preserved for us in the scriptures, inspired by God, so that we can be adequate, equipped for every good work. We can be properly equipped. But we must get it right. What is the core center? And then also, what do all these various expressions mean? And if we learn how to read the scriptures properly in this way, then we'll find as we read the scriptures, it's linked to various other passages. And together they form a unified whole. And then all the various expressions in a different context assumes a lot more meaning when we learn how to see them together in this way. And I intend to give a few illustrations of this. But what I've considered together with you in Colossians chapter 1, small passage here, I see is very helpful, that all these things, the meaning in all these expressions and how they all come together and how they flow forth from the heart of God, or rather they flow forth from the heart of Paul, but they are put into the heart of Paul by God, as Paul himself testified, is the mystery revealed to him. And we see all the epistles of Paul, they are consistent. They form one unit. Likewise, the whole of the New Testament is one whole. Likewise, the whole Bible. God has a central message, but it is not just a central message you summarize in a few words, and that's all that there is to it. No, there's a lot to this. But we need to see, and it's very helpful to see, where it all flows forth from and how they all hold together in a beautiful whole. And this will also help us not to misinterpret the scriptures, to go deviate all into all kinds of directions, pick words and phrases from the scriptures and interpret out of context. And bear in mind the meaning of interpretation of the Bible in the context. Yes, there's the immediate context, the verse itself, then the passage itself, but the ultimate test of interpreting the Bible or interpreting a phrase or a verse in context is in the context of the whole Bible. The whole Bible, they hold together because it comes, the message comes from God. So when we interpret the scriptures in a way that contradicts the message of the scriptures, we know it's gone wrong. Likewise, when we hear, when we come across interpretation of scriptures or messages that contradicts the central thrust of the scriptures, we know something has gone wrong somewhere. even though it can be put across to us in very convincing ways. And scriptures can even be quoted. Sometimes they are not quoted. Sometimes they are quoted. And can be put across in very convincing ways. But if we are able to see these things properly, you will help us to remain on course. And also, looking at it further, we can actually then see what has gone wrong. Where lies the wrong interpretation? Because all the major truths and principles, they hold together. And major truths that God wants to reveal to us, it is not just in a very obscure kind of verse. Major truths, they need to come together with all the other major truths to form one unit. And that is why we can talk about the mystery, fully carry the word of God. It's God's message. It's one whole message. They all hold together. And that is what we want to understand. What God wants to communicate. Not just able to quote the scriptures to support certain ideas. And the verses we quote seem to support. But is that what God really wants to communicate to us? I cannot go further today, but just end with this brief remark. What we've been seeing in these expressions, in verse 25, we see the expression, the Word of God, and to fully carry out the Word of God, which is God's revelation and message to men, the mystery, in verse 26, which is the Gospel, in verse 23. We look at all this just now. And then the riches of the glory of this mystery is Christ, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, verse 27. And that's what Paul devoted his life to, the communication of the mystery, stewardship of the mystery of the gospel, the riches of the glory of this mystery, Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all this is intended, meant for God's children, individually and the church, of which Paul was a minister. And God wants the church, the body of Christ, to work out, to fulfill. And bear in mind, the apostle Paul was a member of the body of Christ. And he served as a member of the body of Christ. He's not outside of it. In times past, I shared some of this with you. He was sent out by the church in Antioch. He went back. He reported to them. But ultimately, his ultimate loyalty is always to God. That is crucial. Each one of us must be deeply convicted. Our ultimate submission, our ultimate loyalty, devotion must be to God and faithful to the truth that He has revealed. And we help one another. Point one another to Christ. Help one another to be more devoted to God. Help one another to be more wholesome in understanding of God's message to us, God's revelation of the truth. And be open to learn from one another. This is God's way, that the body can be built up, and it's God's intention. We learn and we benefit one another. Not just interpreting of scriptures, but outworking in various aspects. We need one another. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. Nose, eyes, mouth. You cannot function well on your own like that. You're not whole. It's the body. We'll stop here for today. Let us, as we prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper, bear in mind, when we partake the Lord's Supper, we partake from the same loaf. That is to tell us we receive life from the same source, the Lord Jesus Christ. We partake of the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, which is a partaking in the spiritual dimension. By faith, we receive the life of Christ. And we partake from the same loaf, submitted to Christ, the head, the oneness of the body. Let us reflect on what God has communicated to us in the scriptures, the mystery. And you see, in many different ways, God seeks to reinforce this all over the scriptures and even the partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's a time for us to reinforce our appreciation of these truths, not just mentally, but the spiritual reality. Partaking of Christ, so do this remembrance of Him. And as I mentioned, remembrance is mental, but spiritual. Draw near to Him, reflect on Him, what He means to us, all that we have and can find in Him, what has been accomplished at the cross, and not just the death, but also the resurrection of Christ, the risen Christ. What do all these things mean to us at a personal level and together in church life? So I'll leave you to reflect. There's a lot that we can reflect upon, but they all converge together in the core center. So let us now spend some time to reflect on all these relevant truths as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. That the Lord may deepen our insight, our appreciation of the truth, deepen the alignment of our heart with God's heart and the truth that He has revealed, and that we may be strengthened in our appreciation of how God wants us to work out together in church life, and to know that our understanding is still so far short of what it can be. There's a lot more awaiting us. So let us now spend some time, draw near to the Lord and ask Him to speak to us, to help us to appreciate more deeply these things that are very close to His heart. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for revealing to us what has been in Your heart before the foundation of the world, and together with the coming of Christ, His person, His preaching, teaching, and then through the epistles, especially the epistles of Paul, and even the outworking, the book of Acts, we have revealed in the scriptures in a way that is feasible for us to a full understanding of how You desire Your purposes to be worked out. But though feasible, we know that our appreciation of these things, we only have caught glimpses of it. And we know it's Your desire that we continue to grow in our appreciation, understanding, insight into the truth, and how the truth can be absorbed, our minds renewed, our hearts transformed, the whole way we approach life, our values, our perspective, may more and more be conformed to what You desire of Your children in Your kingdom. That we may be effective witnesses to the truth. We may know how to communicate the truth, not only to non-believers, but also to believers. We may be faithful witnesses to all that You have revealed in the scriptures. But we know we first need to understand these things for ourselves. And there's so much that we can learn and benefit, not just from our own reading of the scriptures, but what we can learn from others of Your children. How You desire us to learn from one another when there's a proper functioning of church life, the proper working of each individual part, and not just understanding the truth revealed in the scriptures in terms of concepts, but also as we observe, as we seek to understand how realities of these truths are manifested in the lives of believers and how they can make a definite impact on us and not likewise our lives, a positive impact on others. And when the body functions well, we know that we can make a definite contribution and impact in this fallen world to help set the captives free and impact in the spiritual realm in the way that You desire of us, and more able to witness the manifestation of Your power, Your glory, and the manifestation of the manifold wisdom of God manifested through the church and expression of church life. Father, we ask that you be pleased to continue to speak to us and to help us to see and to respond deeply to you, your calling for our lives. We thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask as we partake, you help us to do so in faith and to reaffirm our love for you, our commitment to you, and that our conviction of the truth may be strengthened and reinforced as we continue to draw near to you. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.